from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, I just wanted to win the game, really, especially at the end there. Definitely a close one. I think that was the most fulfilling part, you know. Having a good game and losing never feels good. So I'm just happy we got the win.
Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen. We'll talk to Sal at 8 o'clock. Updated position battles for the Bills. Preseason game number 2 in the books.
So Andreessen, his raw athletic score, relative athletic score, out of 10, 9.36. Chris Trapasso tweeted out that graphic. The only, literally he had one thing that he was below average on, and that was his height. That's it.
Yeah, that RAS score. The Bills like players with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd imagine a lot of teams do, but the Bills, there's a consistent thread of good RAS scores.
Yep.
Who else did I see had a really good one? Was it Ray Davis had a really good one?
Ray Davis had a good one.
I mean, Spencer Brown has like the best one ever.
I think Ray Davis is going to play in this football team.
I do too.
I think he's going to be, I mean, he looks pretty good out there catching the ball. I think he's going to be their Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray last year was goal line carries, blocking on third and longs, and also catching the football. And I think all of those things are going to fall to Ray Davis. The way I think the offseason and the preseason are rolling. He looks like he's a reliable blocker, so it depends if they trust him on that. He looks like he can catch the ball and run routes pretty smoothly, and he's a bigger body, so I think he's a better idea at the goal line than James Cook, so I think he's going to play the exact role Latavius Murray did last year. At least that would be my guess right now. So touchdowns, maybe. Touchdowns and receptions for Ray Davis.
I like it. I do. 803-0550. Okay, a couple things. We should also get to the Bills released 7 pictures of the new stadium, too.
Yes.
The inside, the club levels of the new stadium.
Yep.
Maybe you've seen those by taking the stadium experience tour. We'll get to that in a moment. But do want to recap the game. And whether it's expectation, I mean, Allen did not play. I said this after the first preseason game, Joe, that preseason pledge, the preseason does not matter. And I stand by that. What happens in the preseason does not matter. It's not predictive. It doesn't mean that you can't form an opinion on the thing that did happen, right? Caleb Williams makes another really impressive throw. That happened. That doesn't mean it's going to happen routinely in the regular season, but I can say, nice throw. Just like, hey, Keon Coleman did not catch a ball. I would have liked him to catch that. Doesn't mean he won't catch that in November.
Right.
Just means I'd like him to catch that. Josh Allen didn't play. Trubisky did. Like, there are a couple things. Greg Rousseau, he looked good.
He did.
Smoking the Steelers' right tackle. I need him to do that the regular season. But it's totally fine to acknowledge like, that did happen, and he looked great. Going to have a great season, I think. So you have to, for my eye on the preseason, my feel on it is, go ahead and take things from it. Just don't think that the results there mean those will be your results. If the preseason were real, I mean real, the team with the biggest problem in the NFL right now would be Jordan Love and the Packers. He threw three picks in the first half.
Yeah.
He just got $260 million. Uh-oh. Guess he's not any good. He had nine good games in the regular season. Maybe now
the league's figured him out.
It's over. It's over for Jordan Love, who threw three picks last night. But we know it's not. They don't game plan. We know that. And on and on and on. So there's a couple different things to lay out as disclaimers. And then there are things to say, but this did happen. And I think the reason that you got such pushback, pointing out that maybe you are looking for a little more out of Keon Coleman to this point in the preseason, is because, I don't know, maybe fans are a little sensitive to burying somebody early. Not that you did that. Mm-hmm. But we watched Josh Allen go from a parody of a prospect, and plenty of us did not want him to be drafted, into the best quarterback, arguably, in football, one of the top three, whatever, put the number on it you want. So we all saw that happen. That doesn't mean that that's going to happen every time with a prospect that's not thought of perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman was a polarizing prospect, but not in that he was a parody, just in how good can he be, what can he offer, and I think Bills fans are ready to find, as much as there's a little bit of a relationship breakup drama with Diggs, they're ready to find the next receiver that they love, whether that's Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, whatever. And you haven't seen much from Coleman outside of the occasional above-the-rim catch at camp. He's not really contributing in these first two preseason games, despite playing a good chunk of them.
I'm just trying to figure out, play-to-play, what is he great at? That's all I'm trying to figure. Like, above-the-rim stuff, we've been watching him since training camp, these practices, and then the preseason. Those, man, he can come down with those when he jumps really high into the air, and they look like awesome plays. But play to play, I'm trying to figure out what he's great at. And I'm having a tough time with it right now, but it is the preseason. It's exactly, it's the preseason.
Well, I think,
and if he plays in the regular season and he looks good and he's making above the rim catches and he's running slant routes and he's doing some yak stuff in the regular season, then nobody will remember what he did in the preseason.
Right. But the yak is a big part of this here. Like, we've seen almost none of his yak ability.
Right.
Something we know exists because there's, he's on film jumping over dudes and returning punts.
Yes.
And you can't return punts unless you're good after the catch. So we haven't seen any of that. We'll see how Joe Brady uses him in that regard. But with Coleman, what does he do great? What does he showcase that he's done?
Yeah.
At training camp, there really were two things, when I was watching, two kind of catches he made. And they might both be, I don't know, Gabe Davis never really caught fade patterns, and Gabe Davis never really struck me as an above-the-rim guy.
Yeah.
But in his early stages of his career, in year one, would you take, I think the answer to this should be yes, that Keon Coleman's Gabe Davis? That'd be a win. That'd be a good first season for him. Davis, what was he great at? Davis was good at getting down the field and tracking balls down the field, and his yards per target was a deep guy.
He was best in the league.
He was yards per reception. Yards per reception, not yards per target, because his catch rate was pretty low.
Yep.
But when Allen targeted him, if they got the connection there, it was good down the field. And I'm just going to keep going back to one two-word phrase for Coleman early. And that's runway routes. I think he needs runway routes. And that's what Gabe Davis's career was a lot of runway routes. Mm-hmm. Allen, so there's a clip, Josh Allen was on the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long, and he asked him about Coleman. And what Allen said was that his body control is incredible, that he believes that Keon Coleman's got the best gut body control he's ever seen in a receiver. Goes up high, and Allen is breaking it down so specifically. He's talking about the foot he jumps off of to the foot he lands on and how he turns and makes. And if you think about that, Kincaid is smooth in this body control. Shakir is like this as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's different, but they're so good at catching the ball and turning and running, both those guys. Their efficiency is great. And with Coleman, here's Allen talking about his body control. And we're not seeing that in the preseason because they're not throwing him those balls. They're not throwing him. We're not getting Josh Allen extending a play, rolling to the right, looking downfield for the garbage truck level, you know, catch radius. They used to call Mike Evans the garbage truck. He's got such a huge catch radius. Allen's going to put it in the spot, and Keon Coleman's going to go get that. That might be his bread and butter early on. They're not going to ask him to be Curtis Samuel. They're not going to ask him to be Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
They might ask him to be Davis. They might ask him to go win vertically a little bit. Not straight verticals, but down the field a little bit and get some runway to him. There's a play. I haven't seen the All-22 of this game yet. I'll go and find it. There's a play when Trubisky is in where Coleman, or no, maybe it was DiNucci. I think it was still Trubisky. They were looking to get Coleman on one of these routes.
Mm-hmm.
And shocker, what happened? The ball didn't get thrown because these backup quarterbacks in these preseason games are allergic to throwing the ball. So I think the wanting to see more from Coleman is understandable.
Yeah.
To your general point. I think it's understandable, and there's nothing wrong with being a little impatient. It's just, you know, we'll have to see what happens against Arizona.
It can be a little frustrating too when the Davis comparison's good for like how they'll use him. It can be frustrating when he's a unique prospect with unique strengths and weaknesses. It can be tough to figure out what it's going to look like because it's tough to figure out even good comparisons for him. I feel like the best one I've heard all off season is a guy that's not a completely different body type, but someone we had on compared him to Anquan Boldin at some point along the way. And like that's part of it for him. There's a figuring out element here with Coleman of what it's going to look like because of the strengths and weaknesses being, okay, the fade route and like the above the rim catches, and he's good against zone coverage, but he's not good against man coverage, and he's not really that fast straight ahead. He kind of needs time to ramp up, but he's also good with yak, and maybe he's a big slot. Like, he's a very different, I think, type of receiver prospect. So when you don't really have that foundation of what it's going to look like, because he's not a carbon copy of anything, that's where like the doubt comes in for me. Is I don't have a good idea of what it's going to look like because I don't know that there are a lot of players that are similar to him when it comes to his strengths and his weaknesses. Okay, he might play like Davis in year one, but isn't he a very different type of player than Davis? I'm not saying the role will be different, but Davis wasn't doing yak stuff. Davis was not going above the rim and catching balls like that.
Davis had the size to go above the rim, but right, he rarely got that opportunity.
But you weren't trusting him to make those catches.
But one of the things Gabe had was he wasn't thought to be very fast, but when he got going.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that was him. We had Bean at the combine hoping he ran a slow 40.
I think he ran in the 4.5s.
Okay.
And then led the league in yards per reception.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. 803-0550.
That's rare though. Like if you look at those lists, I've done that with Davis over the years. I don't have the names off the top of my head, except for a couple. Like I don't know how rare it is, because you look at those lists like yards per reception, the guys that are getting open down the field. Like Davis and like Henry Ruggs, I remember, was always the only guy that was above him. And what was that? That guy was like what, a 4.2 guy?
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of speed guys usually that are up there. It's not impossible for a 4.5, 4.6 guy, it takes a little longer to build up to be on those lists too, but it's not that common.
Let's go to Zach in West Seneca as we connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Hey, Zach.
Hey, I appreciate the Keon talk because, Joe, your tweet last night or this morning got me all concerned. Like, what more? I don't know, man. It just got me, like, worried. The Anquan Boldin, not body type, but the but, you know, catches, like just feeding him the ball when he's like somebody's draped all over him. When at Florida State, he looked just like that. It's just funny because I think Boldin went to Florida State and wore number 4. But I called in because I think, and I'm glad Jeremy years ago came out with the preseason pledge, because for the last handful of years, I really haven't cared because you knew you had Diggs and you had Beasley and you had, you know, whoever. And this is a whole new cast of characters on offense, and I don't even expect if Allen had played to get a real good look. I think you're going to have a lot of like motion with Samuel, and I think you're going to get like a speedier version of Beasley with Shakir. But I will say I am like, I think the defense showed that they're going to be a McDermott prepared defense. One of these guys is going to pop off. that you're like, you never thought, you know, it's like Benford last year and Bernard last year, like guys that you're like, all right, you know, just came into their own and now they're routine starters. I think defense, they'll be all right. I'm just prepared to, like, with Allen, they're going to win games, and I'm like, we're going to talk on Monday, and we're not going to think they're good. They're literally going to win games. Like, I came away from Saturday, and I'm like, not so much what happened, but more like, how does McDermott? I think the guy's in his glory, dude. Like, I think he's like, I'm going to play defense. I'm going to run James Cook. I actually think the fourth round rookie this year probably going to take over for him because he pass blocks better. He runs harder. He does all the things, you know, he does all the things you want in a running back. And I think that, like, that's their game plan. Get it to the tight end, get it to Knox, and then whatever happens with the receivers happens, and then they'll just get out of games. They'll mitigate their exposure by not throwing it all. I honestly, God, think that's, like, because, like, how else? This isn't, like, where they're going to come out like they did week one against the Jets in 19, where it was, how many straight throws was it that day? 25 or something?
I think it was 17.
17
against
or
19 the Jets in the opener. Yeah.
I mean, I'm exact, but, like, dude, there's no way, like, to who? You know, Marquez Valdez, like, what? To who? This guy's hurt. You know, Keon Coleman has, what, two catches in two games? Like who's he throwing? Matt Collins? Like,
yeah.
And it's just like, I understand how we got here, but I'm like, I can't for the life of me, like, understand why we're where we're at with Allen. And I think their defense is going to be good, and they got a couple, you know, offensive line's fine. I think they got a couple of good running backs and tight ends, but I just can't reconcile in my head how we got where we're at with receiver. I understand not wanting to pay a guy $30 million anymore, especially one that's probably, you know, on the wrong side of 30, but, like, how did we not, like, 3 years ago get another guy so that when we're here we got a, like, it's just driving me crazy because I actually think we're going to be, this is like the 2017 yeah. Bills all over again, but, like, with Allen and maybe a couple of better players. Like, I think Bean will be in a spot, and Jeremy, you might have talked about this last week, where it's like, all of a sudden they're like 5-2 and they're like, yeah, but we suck at receiver. Like, and the fact that they worked out a retired Corey Davis who looks like, according to Sal, like after the workout, he's like, nah, I'm good. You know, like.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. So I saw Sal tweet this, Zach, and I'll make a note right here to ask him about it. Because someone asked what happened with Corey Davis, and Sal said, from what he understood, Davis decided to stay retired. And I don't know if that means the Bills were like, we'll have you. And he said, no, I'd rather not play.
Why work out in the first place?
I don't really know. So I'll see if I can get the rest of that answer for you.
Part of, you know, and I'll go after this, part of what I wondered is, like, did they promise him more workload than he was expecting? Like, he's probably like, because he probably was looking at it like, okay, they got a rookie. Okay, yeah, they got Shakir, but he'll play inside. Samuel will do what he does. Like, he could conceivably see his way to a lot of snaps, and then he's like, do I really want to do this? And just bounced, you know? And
maybe he decided, you know, I want a guaranteed role. Or I want a guaranteed spot on the roster or something like that, not just come in and compete for a spot. I mean, I think really how we got here, you with the weapons the way they are, like one of them is they're at a natural point of transition in their timeline. But beyond that, part of the reason we got here, I think, is because they went three drafts without drafting a wide receiver.
That's, dude, and I'm a defender of them so much, but like they should have been taking a receiver like they took this, you know, corner from Penn State that's returning kicks. Or they should have, like, taken a couple of, I don't even care, a couple of fifth and sixth round guys. Like, Shakir was a flyer. Why didn't you take a couple more Shakirs? Like, right. Come on, man. Dude, if they're a Matt Collins injury away from, like, playing somebody that's either way down our depth chart or on somebody else's roster. And that, come on, man. And with Josh Allen, we got to be better than that. That's it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Zach. So, if you have something here, Joe, I'm just looking at something real quickly to make up.
Just on the like the flyer point, like that's not my problem. They've done that. They drafted Justin Shorter. They drafted Shakir. They drafted the year before that. They drafted Stevenson in the sixth round.
There's an Austin Prohl in there somewhere.
Austin
How far back is that? Is that a drought pick?
Yeah, maybe. Hodgins.
I don't want to go all the way back. Like
Hodgins, Gabe Davis was that. I've got no problem with the shortage of day three picks they spent on receiver. My problem has been day one and day two. How long it took them to draft a receiver. That's part of the reason they're here is Coleman. I would have liked Coleman to have been in going into year three or year two when Diggs had to be traded. And when it's going into year one, that's when you're left with all the big question marks.
So I just wanted to real quickly look at something because you know, the point, Joe and I were just having a conversation during the break about this. The receiver on the wrong side of 30, right? The receiver on the wrong side of 30, which is Diggs is how old today?
Is he 31?
He is 30.
30.
Okay. He is 30 years old. He'll turn 30 in November. Okay. So wrong side of 30.
And he'll turn 31 in November. Yeah.
Yeah. This is probably a point about how the relationship, the breakup had to happen, if you want to say somebody got tired of somebody else, he wanted out, they wanted him out, whatever. That is context, and that matters. Because what percentage of Cole Beasley's Bills receiving yards came after age 30?
He was late, right? So a lot of it?
100%.
All of it?
All of it. How old is Emmanuel Sanders when he came here for a year and was, he was pretty
really
good?
Old. He was really old. 35?
He was 34.
34?
34. How about John Brown? I haven't looked yet. I'll check John Brown. When John Brown came to the Bills, how old was he? He was 29 and then played a year. After that, he was 30.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, he was 30. Oh, sorry. He came back in 2022, had those one catch on two targets in 42 yards after they brought him off the street.
42-yard touchdown, I think.
That's right.
One big catch.
He hit 30 and was done.
Yep.
But Beasley, 30, 31, 32. Sanders, 34.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we brought this up during the break is I just traded for Diggs in a fantasy league because I think he's still going to produce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the Bills, you know, whatever. I understand why they did what they did. And, you know, this conversation about where they are, on paper, they have questions to answer. Maybe they will. Coleman and, I mean, I have less belief in Mac Hollins as a long-term idea. All these guys, Hollins, MVS, they're one-year contracts. What's going to happen? Holland's going to ball out. The Bills are going to give him $12 million. Like it's almost impossible to consider it as an idea.
Right.
He'll probably do what he does, which is maybe have a nice year and try to get paid somewhere else. He's bounced around from Vegas to Atlanta and now to Buffalo and looks like a nice role player.
Is it impossible he'll have the year he had with the Raiders 2 years ago?
No, I don't think it's impossible. What are you, like 60 catches?
57, 56, 90, and 4.
I don't think that's
impossible.
It was
94 targets. That's the number that's
it's a pretty big one.
Tough to swallow for me.
But they are
94 targets.
But they are an injury away. First off, they've already had a couple injuries. When MVS goes down, you start to get to Tyrell Shavers is going to make this team based on the fact that Claypool and MVS both got hurt.
Right.
But MVS looks like he might be okay. So, and even then, there's not a lot of evidence MVS should make this team. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
Where can I bet on them working out Michael Thomas in the next 2 weeks? Just a workout.
Yeah.
Yeah, Corey Davis is a little strange that he would work out and then
decide to stay retired.
Like, I wonder if it just came down to what they wanted to promise him as a role or what he wanted as a role.
Yeah.
Did he think... I'm looking at your receiver room. I'm not coming out of retirement unless you're guaranteeing me a spot in the 53 on offense.
I don't know if you can do that as a retired guy, right? If you really want to get back in the game.
But maybe that's why he stays retired.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I'm only coming out of retirement if I'm getting promises.
I'm making a note, asking Sal about that. Because, again, Sal tweeted about that, about Corey Davis. I want to get exactly his full breakdown on what he's heard or how that whole thing went. 803-0550 on the Bills. Preseason game number 2 is in. 2 games. No touchdowns. I don't have a lot of concern. Hopefully a lot of you don't have a lot of concern. If that happens in the opener, there will be time to be concerned. We've got months to get actually mad. You know?
We need the real season again.
It is the time of year where everything's it's fake football. But that said, when we get back, I want to get into Chicago because a couple things are about to happen to the Bears, and I think we have to maybe look at them with some loving eyes, okay? We have to be understanding when it comes to the Bears and how sick of the Bears you're about to get. You're about to get so sick of the Bears.
They haven't played. I'm finally excited to watch the Bears. You're telling me I'm going to get sick of them before they play a game?
You might.
Come on.
You might.
What do they do?
There was a tweet from a Bears fan
that
indicates what you're about to get. 803-0550. I know, a tweet from a Bears fan. One. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off.
That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Caleb Williams, the Caleb Williams Show continues. Maybe you watched their second preseason game. They played Cincinnati, and Williams had another one of those roll out, make a throw. This throw, less impressive than the one he made against the Bills.
Yeah.
But a funny thing happened on the way to talking about this throw. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. I want to talk about the Bears for 1 minute. I think you have to give the Bears and their fans a little bit of, give them a grace period. New love, young love, right? We've all been through it. We're still in it with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You say anything about Josh Allen, Bills Mafia is coming for you. Peyton Manning listed his top five quarterbacks in the NFL and listed Allen fifth in no particular order.
But, oh, he didn't even have an order?
No, he said Mahomes, and then it was at a Fanatics event. Stephen A. asked him for the other four. And he didn't rank them in order, but the names he got to before Allen were, I really love Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar, and Josh Allen's a stud. And that's the kind of thing that Bills Mafia, you know, you might be mad. How are you not naming him second? Anyway, that's an aside. On Caleb Williams, he makes the throw to Odunze down the left sideline. He's rolling left. He turns back and floats one to Odunze. And this was a post that got dunked on by the entire NFL media. And it's a statement on the game today, really, which is, so it's, who is it? Some Bears guy who loves the Bears, and that's fine. Max Markham.
Okay.
I've been careful, but I'm confident in saying only two quarterbacks in the NFL can make this throw. What he's saying is, we've got one of the two. It's him and Mahomes. And the rest of the NFL world reacted to this a little bit. Matt Waldman, who we had on the show last week, he said, add a two in front of that two. Like 22 quarterbacks can make this throw. And that is true. I feel like we did this a lot when Allen came on the scene and started blowing our minds. Oh, wow. He's the only guy in the league that can make that throw. There are a couple throws out there that Allen is one of the few that can make. But in the year 2024, Joe, the guys that can make the rolling out, heave it down the field to a receiver in single coverage over the top, It is like 20 guys.
Yeah.
That's playing quarterback today. Tom Brady doesn't make that throw. The ball's probably out of his hands before he rolls like that.
Yeah, but can Kyler Murray make that throw?
Yes. Lamar can.
Yeah.
Kyler can. Jaden Daniels can.
It's a great throw, but it's not like...
It's not one of two. Aaron Rodgers can make that throw.
Yep. Lamar can make that throw.
Tua maybe not so much, but Tua occasionally makes... Whatever.
Stroud can make that throw.
Absolutely. There are a lot of guys that can make this throw.
Yeah, I agree.
And Bears fans... This is why I said you're about to get really annoyed with Bears fans.
Uh-huh.
Caleb Williams and the Caleb Williams Show. If you're the kind of person that gets really offended at anyone talking about anyone being on Allen's level, get ready. Because the Caleb Williams Show is coming. He looks good in two preseason games. It's just the preseason. But he's got people eating out of his hand.
Yeah. Isn't it? I mean, I'm willing to give a little bit of a grace period to Bears fans. Because when I read that, I kind of go... All right, kid, you're new here. You know what I mean? Like, I understand why you would say that, because you like this guy might write, I'm confident in saying only two quarterbacks in the NFL can make this throw. And what I almost want to translate that to is there's never been a Bears quarterback that can make this throw. And that might be true. Because there might be 10 guys, 15 guys, 20 guys in the league that can make that throw right now. Has a Bears quarterback ever been able to make that throw?
Moses Moreno?
I don't even know who that is.
I don't either.
Could Jay Cutler make that throw? Probably not.
I don't know. He can make a lot of throws.
Like, there's going to be a grace period I'm willing to extend to a Bears fan because, like, they don't even have a Jim Kelly, right? They don't have anything.
No.
They had...
It's Cutler.
McMahon?
And McMahon and...
Like, come on. Like
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh, yeah. Right. Like, I'm willing to extend some grace. And, like, you can be annoying for, like, a year. Because you've never had anything like this.
Yep.
It's going to be new to them. But, yeah, maybe there's going to be a point in time where if you tell me in 2 years he's still one of two quarterbacks to make a throw like that, like, you're just not watching the league. Throw red zone on once in a while.
Connect with our fans. First, a text on the Bears from Jonathan. In pregame roundtable, Eric Wood said he was watching Bears-Bengals and feeling better about the Bills' loss because it was apparent to him that the Bears had been game planning for both games. Which got me thinking, do you think there's a hard knocks effect? Are coaches and players aware of how you could look on TV and not laying down to look bad when you're the only team with the spotlight right now, especially when you have the number one overall pick? I suppose that's possible they could game plan a little bit more. The thing I would say is the Bears game and the Steelers game for the Bills, they weren't that different. The Steelers game finished 9-3. The Bears game was 13-3 or 13-6 until a pick six from Shane Buechel,
right.
A fourth down in your own end.
Right, were they game planning for Shane Buechel in the fourth quarter? Like
no. Like, the Bears game was a blowout that got stupid late, and I almost want to... I know the Bills feel a lot better about it, because they won, and they didn't take a bunch of stupid penalties, right? There were not these massive mistakes, so that's good. But, I mean, McDermott was kicking in a spot where he normally would have gone for it. Tomlin went for it in a spot he normally would have kicked. I wouldn't worry...
You know it's the preseason when Mike Tomlin is going for it.
Right. I wouldn't take too much, myself, from the Bears looking... good against Cincinnati because Caleb Williams didn't score a touchdown against the Bills. He had a couple drives, and the Bills held him the field goals. I'd feel just fine about the Bills starting defense against the Bears in that opening preseason game because I mean, the game was 6-3 for a long time. So, thanks, Jonathan. To the phones, Springville for Justin. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm just calling in about Joe Brady's offense. Just some, I guess, skepticism and concern. I look at the fluidity of the elite offenses in the league, you know, Shanahan, Andy Reid, some of these other offenses, and it feels like it is very smooth and easy flowing. I just have a little concern. It's more of a grind out or almost a handcuff with Joe Brady's offense. Just kind of curious your guys' thoughts on that. And, you know, obviously the scheme matters and the players in your scheme matter, but just kind of your thoughts on where we stand offensively.
Thanks, Justin. It's the million-dollar question. How does this look now that it's fully his?
Yep.
Once the regular season begins? That's the million-dollar question.
And I'm in between on it because it's tough. Like you kind of want to look at last year and think some of it's telling, but him coming in middle of the year, you know, how often have you heard throughout the offseason, like, oh, we can't really take everything from last season because he wouldn't have been able to install what he wanted to do midway through a year like that. I don't want to take everything from last regular season. I also don't know how much I want to take from his previous experiences. Because if you go back to his LSU and Carolina days, what were his offenses? He fed wide receivers. Carolina, he had three guys. I think Curtis Samuel missed by like three targets. But he basically had three guys with 100 targets, all at wide receiver. And then LSU, before that, I mean, he had Jefferson and Chase. So everyone was going to be feeding the receivers there. So how much do I want to take from those stops? How much do I want to take from last season? I don't know if I want to take any of it. I might just want to treat him as a brand new everything.
It's a little bit like the preseason. None of the previous stops matter.
Right.
If he's doing what he's doing here, it doesn't. You're not going to care what he did in Carolina or what he did in LSU.
He doesn't have.
Because it doesn't make any difference. We'll start to see a body of work for him here.
Right.
And, you know, I wonder how much input the head coach has on how they play. I mean, the head coach decides who the coordinator is, ultimately, right? It's his final call.
Yep.
Allen might endorse Brady, or when he fires Dorsey to go to Brady, he does that because he feels like Joe Brady will give him something better, something he wants more, whatever that might be. And again, like part of the million-dollar question for the Bills this year is how they run when it comes to pace, right? Early in the season, their pace was slow. And they finally started to speed up. Does Brady want to play a fast pace? How many offensive plays a game will you get? Because that is up to you. Possessions, you can play where you slow a game down, but you can also speed it up when you have the ball. You're taking the play clock down to 5 every time, or are you moving quickly? And you get this in the NFL. This is one of the things that the deep, deep fantasy nerds get into. You know this.
Sure.
Play pace. Seattle plays New Orleans. The Seahawks had 18 more plays.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that comes down to converting first downs. Other times it comes down to you're actually trying to play faster versus bleeding the clock. And I don't know that the Bills are going to take the ball out of Josh Allen's hand. I don't know what kind of pace they're going to play. We're all going to wait and find that out. But the end result might all be they play an awful lot of close games.
If they come out this year and are right back to one of the pass happiest teams in the league and their pace is up, is the McDermott runs the show on offense thing dead forever?
It depends. Who's the opponent? Arizona, I don't feel like I'm getting a lot out of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, Bills always beat Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, they handle Lamar, who's week 4. It's all Houston.
Do we skip Jacksonville?
You're right. Jacksonville's 3. Yeah. Jacksonville. 4 is Baltimore. 5 is Houston.
Yeah.
Once you start to get into premier offenses, are the Bills going to play like they need to keep that team off the field? Because I'll continue to say, I think that's playing scared.
I think it's a gift to opposing defenses.
Yes.
It's a gift to the other team.
I'm not saying they're going to do that because I don't know if they're going to do that. But if they go into these games and they play like they need to keep the opposing team off the field, that's something teams should be doing to you. You have Josh Allen. That's what you do against a great quarterback. That's what teams try to do against a great quarterback. It rarely works, but you try.
But that's what I mean. In all of those games where they're playing, those top teams, if they're throwing the ball like they always have been,
you're going to feel fine.
We're going to feel fine, and aren't we going to feel like, again, like, are we still going to wait? Is it just going to wait for the next time when, you know, a new coach, a new coordinator comes in to replace Joe Brady? We'll be right back to, like, oh, no, McDermott. Well, here you go. McDermott's going to want to run the ball again.
Yeah, it is a narrative that's out there. Just like he doesn't play rookies, and he often does, just a case-by-case basis. 803-0550. Sal, top of the hour. You can give us a call if you'd like. Be happy to hear from you. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Fits it in perfectly, and Stephon Diggs announcing his arrival to the Houston crowd.
You know, Kevin, this Wednesday in practice, you'll see this just get inside your DB and CJ will hit you. I don't know what Josh Allen would have, but CJ will put that ball right on the number.
All right, so that's the Texans broadcast. I don't know if Josh Allen would have. Let me tell you my experience watching this highlight.
Go ahead.
All right. I see social media. Texans announcer takes shot at Josh Allen. I think, come on. We're going to do this again. We're so sensitive. There was so many cries of wolf. as like shots fired. And then I listen to the highlight like, yeah, okay, yeah, he did. That's
on an 8-yard pass.
That's a direct shot. Yes, it's an 8-yard pass.
Over the middle, like
you get inside, he'll hit you. I don't know if Josh Allen would have. Fun follow-up for those of you that want this information, because it was Warren Sharp that tweeted a follow-up to that shot, is that Josh Allen was literally the best quarterback in the NFL at that depth of target last year. Mm. The best.
Yeah.
The idea that Allen wouldn't hit that play, yeah, he was the best.
It's just a wild thing to say.
Well, is it any different than you've been talking crap about your ex for 3 months and now the new boyfriend's like, yeah, I heard you were crazy, man. I heard you were the problem. Like, that's what this is.
Yeah.
The new partner.
But did you watch them at all
new,
for 4 years?
Doesn't matter.
Like, it's not,
it doesn't matter. The Bills
the
fans
play
have been
is so pedestrian.
You've been talking trash about that guy for months. And that Texans announcer is like, you know what?
It was the first opportunity, too. It was the first thing he caught in the preseason.
No, first home game for them.
First home game, okay. Still.
It's funny. Week 5.
Diggs also has a new signature shoe out. Did you see it?
I did not.
You know what the company is?
No.
ASICS. You know you expect your Jordans, your LeBrons, like your basketball, like custom shoes. Here is Diggs, I'm showing Jeremy right now, signature shoe.
All right.
Doesn't it just look like a normal ASIC?
Sure.
Just a white sneaker.
It's got some purple on it?
There's a little bit of there's purple on it. I think it says family on it. And there's three people holding hands, a little yellow heart on it.
Whoa.
You don't see
You don't purple see... and yellow? Does he want to go back to Minnesota? Sal, when we get back, we'll get Sal's opinion on preseason game number 2. The Bills win in Pittsburgh, and no touchdowns are scored. I would not be encouraged if I was a Steelers fan. Hey, Jaden Daniels, 12 of 15, 123 rushing touchdown.
Yeah,
he's had a nice preseason too. We all take the pledge. We also acknowledge, you know, when someone looks like they've had a nice day. Who had a nice day? Who had a rough day? That's coming up with Sal on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. He was the best.
It's just a wild thing to say.
Well, is it any different than you've been talking crap about your ex for 3 months and now the new boyfriend's like, yeah, I heard you were crazy, man. I heard you were the problem. Like, that's what this is.
Yeah.
The new partner.
But did you watch them at all
new,
for 4 years?
Doesn't matter.
Like, it's not,
it doesn't matter. The Bills fans
play is so pedestrian.
You've been talking trash about that guy for months. And that Texans announcer is like, you know what?
It was the first opportunity, too. It was the first thing he caught in the preseason.
No, first home game for them.
First home game, okay. Still.
It's funny. Week 5.
Diggs also has a new signature shoe out. Did you see it?
I did not.
You know what the company is?
No.
Asics. You know you expect your Jordans, your LeBrons, like your basketball, like custom shoes. Here is Diggs, I'm showing Jeremy right now, signature shoe.
All right.
Doesn't it just look like a normal Asic?
Sure.
Just a white sneaker.
It's got some purple on it?
There's a little bit of, there's purple on it. I think it says family on it. And there's three people holding hands, a little yellow heart on it.
Whoa.
You don't see
You don't purple see... and yellow? Does he want to go back to Minnesota? Sal, when we get back, we'll get Sal's opinion on preseason game number 2. The Bills win in Pittsburgh, and no touchdowns are scored. I would not be encouraged if I was a Steelers fan. Hey, Jaden Daniels, 12 of 15, 123 rushing touchdown.
Yeah,
he's had a nice preseason too. We all take the pledge. We also acknowledge, you know, when someone looks like they've had a nice day. Who had a nice day? Who had a rough day? That's coming up with Sal on WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.